Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. It's your boy TG Thomas back at the helm. Welcome to the Sports City Cookout, man. We got a lot to jump into, man. I'm feeling some type of way up. I'm actually feeling good coming into the kitchen today, man. Just because of, you know, we're at the Midsummer Classic, you know, Home Run Derby just went down. We're in the middle of the month of July, like I said, so I'm not going to lie. I'm looking forward to the beginning of August so we can see the Hall of Fame game, get ready for some NFL, but appropriately, we got some things to discuss here in the kitchen. So I took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive.
What about I'd be caught in this life less than the praise with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the ow. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flaunt connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town. I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear that they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turn you to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me, but I wouldn't seen had I remained the same me. Fuck me, bitch, it's true. All I got is this money, and this to do.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.
The calling number is 917-889-9592. Got the next 90 minutes or more locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs. Sports City, I'm feeling some type of way because we just sat in a doggone green room and we shared a couple of giggles. But the funny part about this one, Sports City, I wasn't the one mainly cracking the joke. You know what I'm saying? I was actually the level-headed one trying to be calm, cool, and collected, but I came with a good one while we were in there to start the show up. So let me get into this thing, man. I got my co-host with me, calling from the DMV, the Virginia region of the United States of America. Tommy B, welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening? Tommy, are you still with us? Did I lose you? Ride with me, Sports City. I might be having technical difficulty. Tommy, can you hear me?
Yeah, you there?
I got you now. How are you feeling?
I'm good. Just sitting here just waiting for the All-Star game.
Okay, so, of course, we got the All-Star game kicking off tonight. American League versus National League. And what better? I got my brother here so we get to discuss how we feel about both of these sides actually coming at each other tonight. We also have some stuff that's outside of the baseball situation, too, that will be actually thrown around the kitchen. And I'll let Tommy jump into it first and foremost. I know there is a couple of things that he'd like to throw on the grill. Of course, you know I got a couple of things to flip around this grill as well. Tommy, I'll let you set it off first here at the cookout tonight.
Yeah, there's two things. I'll save the most convert. The other one. Second, we all know what's coming up soon, the football season. Thank God. The SEC Media Day has started. So technically, I guess football season is here in a way. Of course, the West Division, they've got Alabama winning. That I don't care about talking about. That's common sense. Let's talk about the East Division. They've got Tennessee winning this division. The last time I saw it checked, they haven't beaten Florida. God, I can't believe I'm saying that. Who can't beat Florida? Jesus, cramming. 14 straight years. The sleeper for me is Georgia. And I'm picking them just out of respect for giving me my coach down in South Florida. Thank you for finally getting rid of Mark Richt. Dumb on your part, smart and good for me is Ty's part. Georgia could be very interesting. Very interesting pick, I think. Got a young quarterback, receivers. Kirby Smart, we all know what Kirby Smart got. He's going to be good, in my opinion, for that defense. That's decently pretty much carried Georgia the last couple of years because they haven't had a quarterback since, what, Matthew Stafford, that I can think off the top of my head. I mean, if you want to count Shockey they had, I believe it was him. I think Shockey was his last name. He wasn't bad. Who's an athlete? But they haven't really had a decent throwing quarterback since Stafford. I really think, watch out for Georgia. Tennessee, I have no respect for them. Forget them. Whatever. And, of course, we all know I'm not taking Florida. God, no.
So what we have here is SEC football, and basically who is tough enough to knock off Alabama. This is real tough for me because, the one thing about Tennessee and the reason why I think they're putting them up there is because of the receiving core from last season that they come into this season with as well. But, of course, just like you said about the Georgia situation, they need a quarterback to come in there and complete passes. And not to say that he can't come in there and get the job done, but this is an uphill battle because one team that you completely forgot that's in the SEC, that if they don't get somewhat of a passing game, or if they do bring a passing game into this season, then I think they could be a threat in the LSU Tigers. But it seems like I'm looking at it overall. Well, yeah, are we talking division by division? Are we just going to go west and east? That's what we're just doing? We're going west first?
I'm talking about the east because Alabama's going to win the west. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't sweep the west.
So you don't think LSU could put up a fit this year? You still think Fournette doesn't have it in them to knock off Alabama?
It's not that I don't think Fournette has it to beat Alabama. LSU doesn't have the quarterback. Until Les Miles proves to me he can get a quarterback that can throw the football, I have no faith in them beating Alabama because all they're going to do is stack the box and say, Fournette beat us, and it's not going to happen. Prove to me he can get a quarterback.
I stated the same thing. I was running right into that, saying that they have to get a quarterback that they can believe in that can complete passes. Because of the way that they actually had a decent season, I don't want to say they had a great or, you know, an eye-opening situation, but they had guys that could go up there and make plays, and I don't know. I don't really want to peg Tennessee as being that team, but I think that's where a lot of these, writers or what have you have actually gave them the look to think that they would be a team that could, more or less bring them to the top of the SEC. I don't know if they could win it. But it'd be interesting to see them get it done. But since you're talking East, like you said, there's Georgia. You also have South Carolina. You also have Florida. You have Tennessee as well. As much as I would like to try and throw like a Kentucky or a Vanderbilt in there, knowing that their offense that is all that they have, I still can't put those guys at the top of the division. But I do look at this as a three-way situation. I can't count Florida out. I can't count them out. Also with the respect of, some of the teams that we just mentioned here, I want to see the Tennessee team bring it. Reason being, I'm being selfish. I am being selfish because of who we just lost as sport people alone. And Pat Summitt. You know, and anything with Tennessee right now, I'm more or less a little heartfelt to the situation. I want to see something happen out of there because it's not like their girls' basketball team is going to do it. So, Noah Peyton Manning hung up his cleats, and you know that he wanted to see his team do good, even though that's when I couldn't stand Tennessee at that time when they had Peerless Price in them. But that'd be another thing to see them get it done. If a team like Kentucky or Vanderbilt could step out of the cellar and actually show a name for themselves. But it'd be interesting to see either Georgia, Florida, or insert another team here, which like I just said previously, Tennessee, those being a three-way matchup for them to try and get this corral in the East since Tommy's pegging toward the Eastern situation of the SEC.
Georgia's there's just something about that, of course, everybody, if you're a true diehard Hurricane fan, you understand why I don't want Tennessee to win. I can't stand Tennessee now. I mean, there's a certain player that committed to Miami, ran their mouth, oh, I'm saying it to you, I'm a Kane. Then at the last minute, he decided he's going to Tennessee. All right, go ahead. I hope he gets his ass burned every time. And you know Larry Scott's there too, right, Ty?
Can you repeat that? Who is it?
You know Larry Scott's there too, right?
Right.
Yeah, could have been still in the family, and he decided to bounce too. All right, whatever. Bye.
I mean, well, you know, some opportunities present themselves for people, so they got to take them. Of course, we like to keep them in our stable and getting things right. But, you know, if they see fit, you know, somewhere else, so be it. You already know I feel a certain way about how the Kevin Durant dilemma went, even though I could say everything that I feel about him leaving. But if he sees fit better with Golden State, then so be it. Of course, I'm going to have my views and opinions. And, of course, I want to see better for my team or organization or the family that I follow. But hey, we gotta do better with or without the individual, whether it be a coach, whether it be a player, whether it be the captain. You gotta be able to withstand whatever storm is in front of you. So whatever he needs to do, we gotta focus on what's going on at Coral Gables. But right now in the SEC, like I said previously, I think this is a three-headed race, if you will, unless somebody else steps up and can actually bring something to the table. But I don't know if you want to jump to the west side of things and see how you want to pan that out, whether it's Auburn, Alabama, LSU, just throwing some of the names out there.
I mean, I believe Alabama wins this conference. I really do. I'd like to see Auburn win it. I wouldn't mind seeing Auburn win it, technically. I don't – unless they can, once again, they got to find a quarterback. And unless their defense improves tremendously to what they had last year. I mean, LSU, I don't think they can – defensively, LSU is going to be set. They always are. They've got the wide receivers. Running back they got. Their problem is quarterback. And I believe they had two incoming freshmen and a guy from last year. Unless one of those incoming freshmen are good enough to get the start, congratulations. I hope so. Because that means I'd be happy to see somebody knock Alabama off in that division. Mississippi State going through all that problems that they were going through. I mean, with the NCAA, I mean, I'm not sure when all that probation stuff starts for them. I mean, they could have had a chance with Chad Kelly coming back. Let's see, who else is in that division? Arkansas? I don't know. I don't believe in them.
Their offense brings it, though. Arkansas's offense brings it, though. Their passing game, if their passing game is what it was for the past two seasons, they can still be a legitimate threat. they could still be a legitimate threat, but they lost their quarterback, so that's a whole other argument in itself.
I don't know. I mean, who else is in there? I mean, Texas A&M, I mean, look what they've lost. I mean, they've had, what, 2-3 quarterbacks transfer out? And hell, the one transferred to Louisville to compete in the play in the ACC. So, I mean, the West isn't as cut. I mean, I guess you could say there's three teams possibly in the West, too, but one's so much more ahead of the other two. The only thing that I question is Alabama quarterback. Because they are bringing in a new quarterback. So, we'll have to – I can't wait till September 1st when the season starts on that Thursday night. I can't wait.
Okay, so you right now – so you're favoring Auburn, but do you think Alabama's going to bring it right back to Tuscaloosa, or do you think another team will step up and get this done?
I think Alabama wins the West. I think right now I say the SEC championship will be Georgia and Alabama. And won't that be fun?
Ooh. And you think
Kirby Smart coming from Kirby Smart just leaving Alabama? You don't think he's not gonna have him Georgia boys ready?
Yeah, but after one season without their, you know, their head coach leaving, I mean, that's pretty steep. It is pretty steep to say the least. That's pretty steep for him to get this ball rolling, especially in the SEC. Especially, they want to see if that run game still is what it was while Rick was there. You know, they have to go out there and prove that they can still go out there and pound the ball as best as they can. You know, so that's the one thing I'm looking at for Georgia. I don't want to count them out because they have a ton of, you know, athletic, you know, All-American-type players. But can they actually solidify this while their head coach just walked away and then went down south to South Beach? Still yet to be seen. But they do have, you know, primary candidates, if you will, in their roster. Any other topic that you'd like to speak on other than the SEC?
Right now, no. I'm still doing a lot of more research, definitely for the ACC. I'll go out and say this. I will say this. Our Canes win the Coastal.
See, this is the thing about
we
Miami.
We win the Coastal.
I want to see out of Miami first and foremost is what receivers step up right now. You know, I don't want to put so much on Stacy, as much as I love Stacy, as much as I want to see Berrios on the field, even though he doesn't really get that many snaps or opportunities to make things happen. You know, watching Ray leave, man, that's huge. But getting Bruce is another big piece of the puzzle also. You know, also David being at the tight end as well. He's a speedster that has, you know, big play capability. He can go up top and make plays. But the defense is what questions me. Like I really worry about the front four. The defensive line isn't like it was back in the day.
You
have
nothing to worry about that front four.
Hold on. Let me finish. Please let me finish. I don't do this to you. Please. Now, this isn't the same defensive front that I'm used to with McDougal and Williams and those guys making stops at the line of scrimmage. Because a lot of teams that have ran against Miami already start off with a 3-yard gain, and then they got to try and tackle second or third level. And when I'm speaking second or third level, I'm talking linebackers and safeties and corners trying to make the play. Now, if they can stuff up and close those running lanes, that's the one thing that I'm concerned about. Two, going up against these teams in the ACC, knowing that they have a lot of running backs that can do damage, I'm worried about the linebacker core. We lost a lot of linebackers in the past two seasons due to them out of school. They're no longer, you know, within the university. So these guys have to be run stoppers as well, being able to make, I hate to put this type of weight on them, but go out there and make anywhere from 6 to 10 tackles a game. And that's if we want to have them on the field. I don't want to see them on the field that long. Like, I hope we can get a bunch of 3 and outs. But you got to be realistic at the end of the day also. So, of course, I would love to see my boys go out there and do work. But the defense is what concerns me in that receiving core. Good thing that I actually talked to my brother Tommy here first and foremost, hearing the good news about Mark Wallace. So at least we do get our running back back, him going into his sophomore season in college. Him being he has good speed to be his size. He's not really a scat back, but he has good speed to be I don't really want to call him a power back. I don't want to look at him as a power back, but compared to year being, he's you know, valuable to the strength of our running game. But we'll see.
I like Yerby. I'm going to tell you two players to keep an eye out on. One's a veteran. He's got bigger. Yes, he's coming off a torn ACL from last year. Gus Edwards, I'm telling you, watch out for Gus. The Gus the Bus will be back. I'm telling you. The incoming freshman that everybody wanted, Ahmad Richardson, watch him. Dude's going to be special. Him and Sam Bruce, two incoming freshmen, are the, I'm telling you, they're the next big stars at the university, the next big kings that come out wide receivers. Our D-line, I'm not really worried about it this year. Yeah, I'm worried at linebacker. Yes, I'm really, definitely if Juwan Young can't get back. I'm still pissed off at that. We can't take any major hits at DBs, at corner or safeties. I mean, that worries me. But I think our offense, offensively, I'm not really worried except offensive line. I think we're still set back. We'll be set back for at least for another 2 years. When Mark Rick and the coaching staff can get together and get the linemen to come in, then the big ugly, so we'll be fine. Wide receivers, Roberto's, Coley scares me just because he can't stay healthy for some reason, that hamstring or it's an ankle or something. He's got to stay healthy. Lawrence Cager, he's going to have a breakout season too, I think. I think Cager could have a good breakout for the wide receivers. He could be an 800, 950 yardage. I'm very interested to see what this offense looks like. Everything I've read and heard and talked to people is going to be a high pace, a real high tempo to the offense. Now, is it good? I doubt it's as fast as Oregon's offense. By what I talk to people that's around the program and all, it's something similar to what Oregon does. I'm telling you, we win the Coastal. At least win the Coastal.
Okay, and in the other division in the ACC, who do you favor?
Clemson.
Especially with the season that they had and been falling short.
As long as the quarterback, was it Watson, stays healthy, Clemson. They lose him, then it could be a toss-up.
And who would the toss-up be between?
Well, the rape artists and the women beaters from Trailer Tassi. And I guess they would be the favorite because really there's no, I mean, maybe Louisville. I'll say Louisville. Louisville up there at Trailer Tassi. Because Louisville could be a very interesting team this year if they can get good quarterback play. Defensively, they should be set. Wide receivers, running back, they're not bad at. So, I mean, I think Louisville could possibly finish second in this division in the Atlantic. I think it could possibly go Clemson, Louisville, Florida State, and then following in the line, however.
How do you feel about North Carolina after the season that they had last year?
They'll finish second in the Coastal. I don't. They lose too many pieces. They lose quarterback play. They've lost players on the defense. They've lost weapons on the offense.
Yeah, but Williams comes back. The scrambler quarterback comes back next year.
I thought they lost him. Thought he was a senior last year.
If I'm not mistaken, he's a junior. I'm actually going to look that up now. I thought he was a junior at the quarterback position.
I thought he graduated last year.
Shoot, from everything that happened last year, I'm hoping you're right. I hope he is a senior.
I surely thought he was a senior. I mean, I don't trust. Georgia Tech could finish third. Don't sleep on Virginia. Virginia could be very interesting. Virginia Tech, still, they're at least 2 years away. They'll be tough to play in Blacksburg, but I don't trust them away from home.
And I am looking it up, and you may be right. I think he is a senior.
Sure,
well,
he's been there for a while.
Okay, so he, I thought he was a junior. They were then good. So he's gone. We don't have to worry about him, you know, personally, but analytically, that boy was a sight to see, or that man. Let me not call him a boy, but that man was a sight to see at the quarterback position, especially the way that he was confident enough to tuck that ball and run, make some things happen. He had a couple of games where he just basically blew the doors off the hinges, you know, extending defenses and being able to blow the top off of the throwing the ball long too. So I at least thought that that was coming back. They don't have that, but we'll see. Especially in the ACC. To me, you know, as much as we both, me and Tommy, don't like them, somebody has to convince me that they can knock off Florida State. Somebody has to convince me that they can do it. Like, Clemson may be the team that can run them if Deshaun is doing his thing, but other than that, Dalvin Cook is still the problem. The problem. Home run hitter every time he touches the ball, that's a problem. You know, there has to be a legit linebacker core that can stay with him. He's shifty and has dynamic speed. I think it's between Clemson and Florida State, if you ask me. I really do. I really
Bern,
do.
Bern, you
think
something, Ty?
Yeah.
You ready for this? State loses at least 3 games this year.
And is it because of the quarterback?
They lose the Clemson. I say they lose to Louisville. And Miami beats them down at Coral Gables this year. Watch. They think we're going, but you think, go ahead and sit there and think. Mark Rick and that defense is going to sit there and let this year, like that sorry ass coaching staff did last year. Go ahead and think that. Because we had them son of bitches on the road, not once, but twice, 2 years in a row, and we let them off the hook. I'm telling you, this senior class this year will not lose to them trailer trash, especially in Miami. We beat them this year.
They play Clemson at home. They play Miami in Miami. They play Florida and Tallahassee as well. Those are the big marquee games I can think of. They play North Carolina and Tallahassee as well. Other than that,
they play Louisville and Tallahassee too, right?
No, they play Louisville and Louisville. But I favor Florida State. I still favor Florida State in that game. Depending on what Ole Miss brings to the table, they start the season off on Labor Day up against Ole Miss. If Ole Miss
That's
come
right.
in there,
they
and
do fight them first. Make it 4 losses for them then.
Whoa!
Make that 4 losses. They lose to Chad Kelly in Ole Miss.
So you said they're going to be 8-4. Okay. Okay. Call another 917-889-9592. I know there was one more college football topic that we wanted to tackle before we started to dig into this stuff here in the kitchen. Throw that one out there, Tommy, unless you want me to spark it up.
And you can spark it up. I did this one. You can go ahead and do it.
Okay, so we all know the situation has taken place or has taken place in the past 3 or 4 years in the northern region of the state of Pennsylvania, i.e. the university, or let me not say it like that, Penn State University, let me say it like that, in which the late Joe Paterno has passed on, and the situation that went on, because I don't want to say allegation because there's a lot of stories that are behind it with Jerry Sandusky and everything that went on for years there. Well, come to find out, there's actually been somebody else that has stepped up and said that there was more things that happened than people anticipate, and Joe Pa knew more than he led on to, and this went on for decades from what the person is actually stating. Now, there's already been people that have come out that are trying to petition to get Joe Paterno's statue put back up after they have already had that statue up and actually forced them to take it down after this situation happened with Sandusky. So now all of a sudden, as years go on, it's kind of like the time gets people to forget about what happened. And then once people start to think and dwell on the situation, then we have an uproar. So I want to hear how you feel about this, Tommy, and everything that's come out about Sandusky and Joe Paterno, especially how long this thing has been stated, it's been going on for.
Well, personally, I think Joe Paterno knew everything that went on. That's why all of a sudden when he came out, he disappeared and retired. He knew what was going on. And by what this guy now that comes out that was back then was 14 years old in 1976, I'm not shocked at all. I'm not shocked at all. Because it's awful funny how this comes out and then he all of a sudden, oh, I'm retired. And then all of a sudden they find cancer. Wait a minute, what? You were just getting your team prepared to play in the upcoming season. And then all of a sudden, oh, I'm retiring, and then they find. I'm not saying anything that he faces death or anything like that, but it is suspicious how all of a sudden everything happens. It's just weird. Everybody knows how I am. I'm a diehard Kings fan, and I can't stand Penn State. In my opinion, they should have kept that probation on them like they double A had, and they should have kept the scholarship thing away, too. They should have never got their scholarships back and everything else. This was despicable. I'm sorry. It's sickening.
Okay, so the interesting thing about this, knowing that this is, as of this year, too, that this has been going on for 40 years, that he knew about these situations going on at Penn State. But it's like the man is passed on. The guy that you guys wanted, you got in prison right now for this. It's like move on from the situation. And yes, I do agree with the people. Now, put his statue up, man. Put his statue up, man. I don't want to hear this old, he knew, he's gone, man. He's gone. And in answer to Tommy's situation, I hate to kind of say it like this, but you got to kind of look at it like these guys coach to live. You know what I mean? It's hard. I can't really say it's hard to explain. I'm going to try and explain it. But knowing that he was coaching from the 50s until he passed on. Those guys that came into that locker room, whether it was it's 53, I think it's probably more than a 53-man roster in college, but whoever came through that door, he basically got these guys inspired to go out there and play winning football and get it done. at the end of the day. And, you know, people are going to be broken. Like, you're gonna get a situation where people feel pro Joe Paterno, and there's going to people that are going to be against the situation with Joe Paterno. But I think more of the focus should have went on Sandusky. But, nobody can really answer if he knew or not. Nobody's going to be able to answer that situation unless more and more kids, you know, or not even to say kids because they're all older than me, but more and more guys that, you know, were going through school from 76 up start speaking on Sandusky openly and saying that Joe Paterno knew about it. You know what I mean? Those are going to be the things that are going to be hard, one, for, you know, the university to deal with, and two, you know, people that are, you know, more trying to push for Joe Paterno are kind of like letting the past be the past. You know what I mean? That's what I'm looking at. Okay. Anything else, Tommy, before we do get away from that?
Just that I disagree with them putting that statue back up.
So you think they should remain without having Joe Paterno's statue up?
Yep.
Wow. Tough. You know, like I said, I respect Joe Paterno a whole lot, man, especially, you know, being able to inspire guys from the college ranks, going to the pro ranks, or whatever they ended up becoming, whether they were today's lawyers or firemen, whatever job that they ended up following. He was able to inspire these guys for over 4 or 5 decades to get this done, whatever they did in life. I know there's other players that came through that locker room that respect them, but at the end of the day, like I said, I'd rather see Joe Paterno's statue put back up. That's just me. And everybody's entitled to their opinion. But rest in peace, Joe. That's what I am going to say. I'm not going to sit up here and let it be too somber. But I know it can get hectic, especially here in the kitchen. Okay, so I want to talk about, this All-Star weekend as we have the game approaching us just in a few minutes also. And this All-Star weekend with the Home Run Derby that popped up yesterday. Tommy, I'll let you set this one off first. Your thoughts on the Derby and things that happened at this midseason, with the trade rumors, teams that are hot at this point, I mean, things of that nature, especially the Home Run Derby, whatever you'd like to touch on as we are here at the Midsummer Classic.
Yeah, the Home Run Derby was expected to go the way it went. I mean, it's getting as bad. This year looked as bad as the slam dunk contest. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it. It was one guy putting on a show and different other people filling in. Everybody knew that Stanton was going to hit bombs. But, hey, I was impressed with it. I wish I had the strength to hit a ball 497 feet. I mean, geez.
Twice.
Give me time, man. Jeez. It's starting to get to where your big time stars are not going to do it. This is what it's going to get to. And I came on and said I didn't want Bryce Harper to do it, and I don't. Now I know in 2 years when it's in D.C., I expect him to do it. Fine, whatever. But what, you're not going to get the big names to start doing this. For some reason or another, they're not doing it. The All-Star game itself, I'm going, of course, we all know, I'm going with the National League. But I've got a weird feeling. I'll say a fix is in, just like it. So I'm going to say I would not be shocked if the American League won and David Ortiz didn't get the MVP. Would not be shocked at all.
That David Ortiz wins the MVP?
Mm.
Do you think they let him go the whole game? Do you think he played the duration of the game, especially with everybody at the Midsummer Classic? Everybody was actually trying to take a picture with him. Everybody.
I don't know if he'll play the whole game. I say he gets at least 3 at bats. I mean, I guess it all depends on how it goes. How long, what the game, how it goes, and everything. But I would not be shocked if he somehow did something, got a big hit, home run or something, and it put the American League off and they gave him the MVP. Would not be shocked. You remember Cal Ripken's last year, Ty? The All-Star game was in Seattle, and he hit that home run, and they gave him the MVP. I would not be shocked to see something like that happen today, tonight. Would not be surprised.
So do you think they put that together?
Hey, nothing surprised me anymore in sports, definitely in professional.
Right. Okay, fair enough. Well, I don't want him to totally take away from how I felt about the home run derby, but I did want him to get his side of the story out. Sports City, y'all already know. Who called the winner last night? Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Now, Tony may not like the format, but I actually like it. I do like it, but it does call for a situation of where I think they can gas out while they're at the plate. Because they're swinging like crazy for, what, a 3-minute stint. And it might be five. I don't know. Three or five.
They got
it
4 minutes plus a timeout.
Yeah, and they get the timeout. And I want to say the last round where Stan got up. And when he called the timeout, it was like, Nick, because nothing in life is perfect. I like to say it like that. Nothing in life is perfect. But as soon as he finished with the timeout and started swinging, he started hitting bombs like crazy. I'm like, this dude is a machine. He is a legit machine. And knowing that he's from the California area, knowing that he had people there, but just like Tommy said, I think a lot of people had their eyes on him waiting to see what he was going to get up there and do. Because he's one of the bigger swingers at the plate. And also, like Tommy said, there's not a lot of big names in it. So you want to see the biggest name there as possible is Stanton. I mean, you got Robinson Cano, and then Stanton got rid of Cano in the first round. So then the next situation is, you know, who else steps up and to battle with him. And everybody he basically won up against was a considerable lead. I think he won one by 3 home runs, if I'm not mistaken. I think he won one of them by 3. But still, yeah, Stan basically gave everybody a show, similar to the year of, when Justin Morneau and Hamilton were going at it in New York in Yankee Stadium. And Hamilton was, you know, giving the ball a ride, but Morneau ended up winning that one. Wink, wink. I had to give the Twins a shout out. I had to. But nevertheless, man, I was entertained last night. I did like the format of the time limit and how much these guys got up there to free swing. Even at one point where Stanton's, his pitching coach that was up there, Stanton was hitting so many bombs that his pitching coach was happy that Stanton was launching him. He started jumping up and down at the mound, and it's still time on the clock. Like, you got to keep your composure. But I'm telling you, that's that type of fun that everybody's coming out there to see. That at least me, that's what I like. Even the pitching coach was getting into it.
He'll be in it next year too, because you know where the All-Star game is next year, right?
No, where is the All-Star game next season?
South Florida. It's in Miami.
He's at home.
And then the following year, it's here in the DMV in D.C.
Right, and that's what you just were talking about with
Rice
coming to play. Right.
So who do you got the All-Star winning the All-Star game, American or National?
I'm going with the National League, no. I had to. Sports City, that's why I said we had jokes going on in the green room. I had to start out like that. I had to do it because he said, I know when we do the prediction part, we're going to split up right there. I said, Dad, how do you know what I'm going to pick? How do you know what I'm going to pick? So, of course, he knows what I'm going to pick. So I had to say it like that because he already was like, I know you're going to American League. I know. So, of course, I'm going with American League. I got to. I don't like National League baseball. I don't like pitchers getting up the bat, even though Madison Bumgarner might have changed my mind. I might be a Madison Bumgarner fan on the low. I might be. But Arrieta, too. I like Arrieta, too, but I know. I like DHs. I like guys that can come up there and, you know, hit for contact, getting on the base. I'm an American League guy through and through. I'm pulling for the American League. I'm pulling for them. But I think, you know, them being in San Diego, I feel like the National League can win this game also.
Why has the National League wins? That means the All-Star game, hopefully my Nationals can get to the World Series.
That's if you guys can hang on to the lead. That is the bigger question.
Oh, yeah. It all gonna come down to pitching in our hitting. But I'll say this, and I know as soon as I say it, it's going to chase me and karma's going to come bite me in the ass. I'm actually more worried about the Miami Marlins catching us than I am the Mets. We seem to be okay with playing the Mets. For some God reason, we struggle playing the Marlins. I don't know why, what it is, but we struggle playing against the Marlins.
So you think you guys can get caught with a 6-game lead?
It all depends on how, I mean, yeah, I do think we can be caught. If we come out, I mean, look who we come out with. We come back, play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday against a hot Pittsburgh team. We struggle against Pittsburgh, no matter where it's played at. If it's played in Pittsburgh or if it's played in D.C., we struggle for some reason against the same teams year in and year out. Then the Mets turn around, they open up with Philadelphia. Really?
I mean, you can't get mad at how the schedule is. The schedule is already in play. You can't get mad at that. Can't.
Well, I'm not, but I mean, you asking me why we could, that's how we have got to win at least 2 out of 3 after the All-Star break this coming weekend. Have to. In hope, Philadelphia can win. Boy, if we win, at least it drops to 5 games. I'm all right with that.
Wait a minute. Looking at your schedule, right? 3, 4, 5. The next five series, I find one slouch in the series. Being the Padres, you guys have the Pirates, the Dodgers, a 2-gamer up against the Indians, the Giants in a 4-gamer, and this is in San Francisco. And then you have the Diamondbacks on the 1st of August, which I know you cannot wait to play them. But
We play San Diego, too.
That's what I said. The one out of the next five series is the Padres. I feel like the Padres are probably the one that you're confident in that you'd be able to take care of business, but you can't go in there.
I don't know, because we went out to San Diego and lost three games out of four. So
yeah, but this is in D.C., but this takes place in D.C., though.
The first week of when we come back, it's going to be very telling on how this division could go.
Right.
Because we don't play the Mets until the first week of September again.
Yeah, but you can't make on playing the Mets. Like I said, coming out of the gate, the first couple of series you have Pittsburgh at home, and he's actually favored, you know. Pittsburgh at home, the Dodgers at home, the Padres are at home, and then you got, like I said, you got a two-gamer on the road up against the Indians and a four-gamer on the road up against the Giants. I know I can't wait to see that. That is going to be something else. Especially if they can set up a Strasburg Bumgarner. Boy, I'm watching that full game. I'm watching that full pitcher duel. That would be a duel. But looking at the way that
every one of them, so it don't matter.
I know.
Well, take that back. When Dio pitches in them games, I may find something else to watch.
What about Roark? Are you going to watch some Roark pitches too?
Yeah, no. I like watching Roark. You never know what's going to show up. I got no problem. Roark's going to be a good. Roark's good. I like him.
Okay. Well, we'll see how this does go down. So you're. Let's do this. Do you have anything else that you like to throw on the grill?
Not offhand. I can't think of anything right now.
Okay. Okay. Let's do honorable mention because we'll close up at the hour mark, right? Now.
Yeah.
Are you already giving the leg up to Poppy to win the MVP of this All-Star game, or do you have another name that you throw out there for tonight's, Midsummer Classic?
I'll do this. I'll pick one that could win it for the American League. It'd be Poppy. I'll give one that could get it for the National League. You know what, hell, I'm going to be a homer. I'm going to say Daniel Murphy.
Okay, so, National League, I'm going to be a homer myself. Since it's my home away from home, it's a coin flip. Heads is Bryce Harper. Tails is Chris Bryant. They're both from Vegas. It's my home away from home. I'm home in Vegas. So I got to go with the two Vegas boys. I got to. National League. American League, as much as I want to say Poppy, it depends on how long they let him go. If they let Poppy if they let Poppy play the entire game, potentially, yes, I go with it. But this is rough, man. This is real rough. I really wanted to go pitcher. As much as I wanted to do it, I wanted to see a pitcher shut the door for the American League. Oh, man. You know what? I'm going to go with it. I'm going with Poppy. He's a twin. I'm going to go with the twin. Since he wants to be a homer, I'm going to be a homer. Why not? I could do it.
You want to go with the pitcher for the American League? If you would ask me to go with the pitcher, American League, I'd go with their starter. The starter that's pitching for them right now that's going to start the game, Chris Sale. Dude,
yeah, but he's only going to get two innings of play. I still remember the days when Pedro was in there. This was Pedro was laying everybody down. Couldn't nobody sit up there at the plate with Pedro. And Pedro had his first five outs of the first two innings were strikeouts. He struck out five batters out of there.
That was when it was it when he was playing for Boston. He did that with the hometown.
Right. And he mowed down the first two innings and they sat him out. You know, so if I want to go pitcher, they got a good little lineup for the pitching staff too. That'll probably see one inning here, one inning there. They got Cole Hamill, they got Chris Sale, like he just mentioned, Kluber as well. I don't know, man. It's tough. I really, like I said, I wanted to see a pitcher come out there and shut the door, but they won't. I don't think so. So, batter-wise, it may be Poppy, and I'm being biased because, you know, I'm a doggone Twins fan, and he started his career with the Twins. Don't forget about Donaldson also, the star out of Toronto as well. He's actually been playing good ball also. As much as I want to see Eduardo go in that game and do something, I doubt that he get any good time. He'd probably come in like the seventh or eighth inning. But like I said, it's probably Poppy or bust, and I think they will let Poppy go. Watch out for Trout, too. Trout may be a guy that make a play in the field, because he always does. He always does. His range is ridiculous out there. So I think it's Poppy, maybe Trout, also off the bench. They got Miguel Cabrera and Donaldson to watch out for. Those will be the names that I throw out there for the American League. But National League, I'm going with the Vegas boys. It's going to be one of those sluggers. If they catch a pitcher snoozing, which I think both of them will, or one of them will, I'm going with those Vegas boys, and Bryant and Bryce Harper.
Should I be happy if Bryce won it?
I didn't do it for you. I didn't do that one for you. But I'm going to let you live, because you let me win yesterday. You let me win yesterday. Since he said, you know, you had that thing drawn out. He said, the home run derby might have been drawn out, or the All-Star game. Hell, I don't care. As long as I got that one. I got that one right. Off on the top, too. I like that. Okay.
Real quick, did you see where they could be adding a new event for the All-Star break?
No, where is that?
It could be pitching.
And did they talk about the dynamic?
It's still in the works by what I've read. It's something for pitching.
And so what do they have to do? Like, do they have to throw it in a certain zone every different pitch or something? Like, I don't know if a lot of fans would gravitate to it. Like, I think that'd be kind of
hard. I guess that's what it is. Probably who throws this hard, or who throws this hard but throws the most accurate. I mean, who knows?
To me, I think Chapman still throws the hardest. To me. All right. Well, we are at the tail. Right. Unless he ain't using nothing. Hopefully, he's not using nothing. Hopefully. But we are at the tail end of the show. I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the Cookout.
Not much. Still. I'm going to still peep off the same thing I said last night. The University of Miami needs to do the right thing and reinstate Juwan Young. All he did was test drive a car, and he got suspended. Wrong. Sorry. I'm going to follow my Kane brother on this one. There ain't nothing wrong with that. When Mississippi State got an incoming freshman that got in a fight with a woman and beat her, and all he got was a one-game suspension, and that's the first game with somebody that they'll beat 60-something to nothing. It's wrong. University of Miami, get it right and reinstate this man. He did nothing wrong. All he did was test drive a car.
Okay, Sports City, follow us, Twitter, Facebook. All week long, we should be in here, man. It's going to be a busy week, especially for me. I got a lot of stuff going on. But people out there, I'm going to continue to stress, man. Keep y'all heads together, man. Shout out to my boy Frank down there in Georgia. I see you out there, Frank. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We should be back here tomorrow. I'm going to try and get us out here tomorrow for a buffet for the baseball show, because we can follow up the All-Star game and see who's right about the MVP calling. Things of that nature. I'm hot right now in Sports City. I'm hot. I call the home run derby winner, so I'm talking a little junk. But just stay tuned, everything that we got going on. People, be smart out there, man. There's no need for this madness, man. They are driving everybody insane, man. Everybody be smart. Be safe. I got to say that, man, to the people that lost their lives in Michigan, to the people that lost their lives in Dallas, Minnesota. This is the United States of America that's going crazy, man. The United States of America is going crazy, man. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.